We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I still want to know.
I like it.
I want to know.
What?
I hope we have a listener out there, one of our seven listeners, whose name is Richard, and whose parents named him Richard, and everybody calls him Dick. I want to know if he's okay with that. One, like, my name's Christian. That it's one of the many wonders of the world.
I like that.
All right. So Tyler brought this up to us. We were talking about this because we play a lot of silly Jameis Winston clips.
You know,
the most famous one is obviously EW, that
yes.
one. But the more, you know, as we were preparing for this game, looking for sound, we realized that, like, Jameis Winston may be the funniest football player in the NFL. I feel like he's not telling jokes. He's not Pat McAfee. He's not, you know, he doesn't have a dry sense of humor. He's just funny when he speaks. And we're going to give you a bunch of examples because I don't know if anyone knew about Jameis Winston and, you know, some of the things that he got in trouble with when he was in high school. But he told a story from the draft academy. He was on with Jim Harbaugh talking about how he got suspended when he was in high school.
You have got to take another man's job away from him. Any discipline when you were in high school?
Yes, sir. I was disciplined for one game against John Carroll for laughing at my coach because he cried and he felt that I disrespected him.
I just see him. Okay, so the coach.
Coach is crying.
The coach is crying. Now, I don't know if the coach, like, had somebody, like a family member died and it was being really emotional, or if it was one of those pregame speeches.
Like a Thanksgiving morning?
Yeah, where the coach was trying to get everybody fired up and he's tearing because he's so emotional. And here comes knucklehead Jameis Winston giggling in the back. He's so immature that he can't keep a straight face. He just can't do it. So the coach gets so mad and feels so disrespected that he suspends him for a game. And even when he's talking about it with Jim Harbaugh, he's trying to explain it, and Jim Harbaugh says, "You were disciplined." He's like, "Yes, sir, I was disciplined." Like, do you think Jameis Winston would ever use the word disciplined? Never. He would never use the word discipline.
All right, what else you got?
This one's even better. So I love halftime speeches. And I'm trying to put yourself in the mind of a Florida State Seminole football player at the time when you're in a game and you're up against it, you're not playing very well, and somehow, some way, Jameis Winston decides that he's going to be your inspiration by saying this.
SEC, Florida State. Florida State, your brothers, your team, your heartbeat. We some dogs. We ain't no puppies.
Smile, let's go.
We
man.
Some dogs. Wide receivers, y'all cannot let's be go. Stopped. The whole game. We got the best running back in the whole damn league. And we got a quarterback that's going to toss that thing. O-line, wake up.
You know what
we got to
do, y'all. Let's go.
Y'all been in that wall. Y'all got the hardest coach on y'all. Coach Tricky getting y'all ass. I know ain't nobody from Mississippi getting y'all ass like Coach Tricky. Hell no. He getting my ass, and I play quarterback. Get right, wake up, man.
Wait a second. Wait, there's so much in this one. So, all right, yeah, you guys got
offensive line, wake up.
Yeah, so the position group that he needs to kiss their ass, he's yelling at them, telling them to wake up. Then he gets into this whole thing. Hey, your running backs are great. Offensive line, wake up. You know, coaches are great. And you got a great quarterback. He brings himself into the discussion. You got a great quarterback. You know,
we got a quarterback that's going to toss that thing.
He's going to toss that thing. Then he gets into the coaches about how they're going to get into your ass.
Yeah.
How do you
get in y'all ass? I know ain't nobody from Mississippi getting y'all ass like Coach Trickett.
So Trickett, Coach Trickett is his offensive line coach. So he's referencing how the coach is going to get his ass. How do you not laugh and giggle about this?
He getting my ass, and I play quarterback.
This is like a caricature of like this is a guy. If I was writing a movie about a silly, goofy quarterback that tried to inspire people, he would be my inspiration.
We some dogs. We ain't no puppies.
Like every cliche, every stupid one-liner you can think of, he's it like diarrhea of the mouth, just giving you everything. So that's the second one. Okay, now we all. This is the other one that I love. This one will go down in history.
This is like
as
a Stairway to Heaven.
This is like the best of the best.
I say one thing. I want everybody to look at me. I'm gonna pass it to coin after I say one thing.
Let's go.
That's a W. Let's eat one. That's a W. How many people
want to
eat a W tonight?
Yeah.
I'm gonna eat a W tonight.
Okay, the best part about
the
this is so it's the dramatic pause. I won't play it again, Ryan. So he builds it up. He builds it up, and this is pregame, right? So it's before the game even started. Everybody's in a big circle, and everybody's coming around. So he gets in the middle of the circle, and he's given this inspirational pregame speech, and he says, "Hold on, hey, hold on, what is this?
I want everybody to look at me." I'm going to pass it to coin after I say one thing.
Let's go.
That's a W.
So he's got his three fingers up and starts licking his three fingers, right?
So what he's going to do is, so what he basically did is he hijacked the pregame speech, or somebody else is usually in charge of the pregame speech. So he says, hold on, I got one thing to say. I'm going to pass it to Lou, but let me just say this. He said, hold on, just I got one thing. Look at this. You know what that is?
Let's go.
That's a W.
That is it, because everyone's probably looking at him going, what the hell was he, Spock?
Yeah.
This is weird. What, he's got some finger issues?
That's some, no, like, that's a W. Fraternity
the
sign?
W. Yeah, is it some, are you pledging a frat?
That's eat one. That's a W.
Let's eat it.
Eat so what, a W.
And then he went to act like he was eating his hand because that was a W, therefore describing the fact that they're going to eat a W, they're going to win. All right, so this one, you played this one.
In camp.
Okay, wait, no. This is on his running back, Alvin Kamara. Okay, when it came to, we played this earlier in the year. This was what, during the preseason?
Kamara and Latavius Murray, who, yeah, by the way, has
early
been released.
August.
Yes.
So it's no longer Latavius Murray, but go ahead.
One of the best back condoms, tandems in the league, right? With Latavius and Alvin. I heard some Snickers, but excuse my language, right? One of the best tandems in the league, right? So.
You almost passed. Yeah.
Tandem was good. Is either.
Don't you think
the best condoms in the league?
You know, he really wishes he was polished and real, just refined, like a
CEO,
like a CEO. Like he really,
like a starting quarterback.
Yeah, he really views himself as this, you know, high level. Like when I see Matt Ryan post game, I see Brady, I see you know, Drew Brees, all these other quarterbacks. They're just real refined, and they make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
Russell Wilson is another one. They just, you know, they just look like they know they belong up there. Somebody told him that he belongs up there, but he just doesn't have the mannerisms for it. He doesn't have the vocabulary for it.
One of the best back condoms, tandems.
He really is built for it. He really should be a defensive tackle. Like his personality,
yes,
is more for a defensive tackle. And how about this one? So after the Green Bay Packer victory, so the New Orleans Saints shocked the world. They beat the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers can't do anything. He throws for 5 touchdowns. So obviously, somebody gave him some advice, right? You would think,
yes,
that somebody spoke to him like Saturday night.
And it meant a lot.
And it meant a lot, and he would remember it because it was so important to him. He wanted to share the information with the people of the world.
How did the defense and the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
I can just see it. So, hold on. So I get the microphone. That, you know what?
That has to be my favorite.
Oh, I'm not sure if we should even rank him. I know it. You know what?
That's
Scratchy.
My favorite.
I know exactly where I was. It was a Sunday. I remember like it was yesterday, Scratchy. It was the most impactful words anyone has ever told me in my life.
That's the best advice I've ever gotten.
I forget what.
Wait,
he said.
What did he say?
What did he say? Well, whatever. We were prepared.
He told us to be prepared. We just wanted to be prepared. What did he say?
That's
he told
it.
Us just to be prepared.
One thing my trainer, he told me, He said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
That was it?
That guy's coming into Foxborough and winning.
That guy.
No chance.
Not a chance in hell. So the words of wisdom were so simplistic. It was just be prepared. Or did he? Was that just like a safe word for him? So he didn't know.
No chance.
He didn't know what the real information, what the real advice was. So he just said be prepared.
Good news, Patriot fans. You were 2-1 heading into Tampa.
Yes.
Because there's no way in hell this guy's coming in and beating you.
No possible way.
And by the way, Mike Lombardi, back in December on this very show, floated that Jameis Winston could be the follow-up quarterback, the bridge quarterback, after Cam Newton. He thought the Patriots could have signed that guy.
I actually was calling, but if you remember, I was calling for Jameis Winston. I was.
Yeah.
As a bridge. Wait, how much you think we had fun and it was entertaining with Cam Newton?
Oh, my God.
What? Are you kidding me with
this guy? My trainer, he told me. He said, what did you say?
See, I think Cam could fake
it. That was 2 weeks ago. Last week.
Oh, see, God. Cam, here's the thing. Cam Newton could fake it. Like, he could hide it.
Yeah.
He tries to, but he can't.
No.
That's what makes it so funny. That's why I say he's the funniest guy in the NFL. He's not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
He's trying to be really smart and forthright. And, you know, he wants to be a difference maker, but nothing he said, everything is cringeworthy.
I know ain't nobody from Mississippi giving y'all ass like those triggers. Hell no. He getting my ass, and I play quarterback.
See, and there's a difference between Ryan and I were having this discussion. Like, what's it's like Ray Lewis isn't unintentionally funny to me. Like Jameis Winston is funny. Like, I laugh at him. I get more annoyed at Ray Lewis. But the two, they have a similar kind of, you know, personality. And they both want to be in the middle of a thing and, you know, do a lot of talking.
The lion ain't hanging out with zebras.
See, to me, that's not as funny. Like, that to me is like, dude, we know you're a Hall of Famer. You're great. See, Jameis Winston is not a Hall of Famer.
No.
So to me, it's different. That's all.
All right, I'm going to go to the call real quick because John out in Georgia, rather, thinks we're underestimating the Saints. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Good.
Way to bring the energy. What's up, John?
Buddy?
I'm on elliptical, thank you.
Jesus.
Listen, I listen to you guys all the time.
Appreciate it.
And, yes, sir. And your ratings on the defensive line play, the front seven, offensive line, and so forth. I've been watching this Saints defensive line.
Come on, John. Yep.
For 25 years.
Yep.
Since I've been down here.
Okay.
Jordan Davenport and company, they can bring it. I think you're underestimating the quality of the New Orleans Saints defense.
All right, thanks, John.
And listen, the ability of the pass to score. That's what I'm.
Okay. Listen, I appreciate it. Yeah, we've focused a lot about the offense and how they're going to score, but yeah, defensively, maybe we'll see.
Who's Jordan Davenport? I don't even see him on the roster.
Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport.
Two different guys.
So did he do that on purpose? Did he add
names? Jordan Davenport.
I think
Davenport.
He's using last names.
Yeah.
By the way, Davenport's not playing. He's on injured reserve.
Okay.
So guy, Juan Alexander.
Guy
he was probably
Hightower.
Looking to get Andrew Hart. Okay.
I guess, yeah, we'll see. Oh. Patriots offense versus Saints defense. Oh, but we're focusing the other side. How do they score?
He said, what did you say?
Yeah, how do they score?
How is that not hilarious to you?
Oh, my God, it's so funny. I love that comment.
I can't wait till postgame.
Wait, what'd he say? I love that. All right, hey, when we come back, we're going to take a quick little shift.
He just told
here.
Us to be prepared.
We're going to take a quick little turn. Real quick on the NBA, because ESPN, or Sports Illustrated, rather, came out with their top 100. You'd be surprised where Marcus Smart is ranked. And Jaylen Brown sat down with Mark Spears, the undefeated, had some interesting things to say. You'll hear both of that coming up next.
Now more of the guys, Merloni and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, welcome back to Merloni and Fourier. Rodney Harrison is going to join us at 4:30. You're going to hear from him, his thoughts on what he seen for the Patriots the first couple of weeks and that win on Sunday. Maybe what he thinks about this New Orleans Saints coming up. But we want to take a quick break from football.
Quick break.
Sports Illustrated ranked actually number 60 to 100 in their top 100 players. They haven't come up with anything lower than that. But Marcus Smart, again, 60 to 100. He was number 60. He was 68 last year. So I'm going to ask you, Christian, because I feel you're kind of like this Marcus Smart whisper. You're up, you're down. I don't know where you are today with him. But what did he improve last year to make him go from 68 to 60?
I don't know. Did somebody retire that was in front of him? Did somebody else get hurt? so they're not on the list. So did he just move up by the fact that it was his turn? I would say nothing. I have not changed my opinion of Marcus Smart. He is who he is. That's just the way it is. He's not going to change. I don't care how much work you put into. I don't care how much you plead with him. He's not going to change. He's a frontline badass defender. He shouldn't shoot as much as he did. I think he's a great distributor. Other than that, I don't know. I'm not buying it.
See, and I'm with you. Like, listen, he is what he is, 68, 60. I don't know. I want to see that list more to be like, you know, how does this guy...
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
68 to like 45, I guess it'd be really angry.
68 to 60.
So what a big deal. You owe somebody a favor.
See who jumped out. The other one, too, I wanted to jump on was Jaylen Brown. He talked with Mark Spears, ESPN's The Undefeated, and they asked him about how he's going to improve his game this summer. You know, what has he worked on? This is Jaylen's response. Mostly just trying to heal. Playmaking is one thing. I'll definitely be more of a playmaker this season for sure. Make the right plays, empowering my teammates. I just want to win games. So every year I approach the season just trying to get better. My body feels a lot better. He says, I had knee problems last year that were lingering, and I hope that won't be have that this season. He says, somebody told me I had 12, probably like 15 dunks in 58 games, something like that. He says, that's not me. So I like the fact, one of the first things he mentions is that I'll definitely be better playmaker this season.
There he goes.
Trust my teammates more. Mm-hmm.
You want to hear? That's good to hear.
Well, it's good.
That's
yeah,
great
I think
to hear.
Both those guys, if that's like the focus, that's kind of what you're looking for, correct? That's kind of what you want from both of these guys. Make each other better. Make others better. Like, I think that's going to be sort of like a theme for this team because it was a glaring issue last year.
Glaring issue. So he's going to be more aggressive. I wonder if he thinks that it's his team now. Or is it a 50-50 share with Tatum?
He's still Robin.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he believes that.
Well, I'm not sure what he believes.
I don't think he believes that. So does this quote right here make you believe that he thinks that he'll defer to Jason Tatum? I think there's going to be a power struggle this year, personally. I think they're going to do everything they can to keep the media out of the locker room. But ultimately, somebody's going to have to either identify themselves as the alpha male in the room and the other guy is secondary.
Well, it's interesting.
Can't be 2-1.
Interesting you mentioned the media because that was the other question. Just a simple question. What do you expect from the Celtics this year? Like, that's it. What do you expect? And he just says to play basketball, have fun. Go out and play the games. That's it. No pressure. But then he says, no offense, but keep the media noise out of the locker room. Just focus on the game. He says, sometimes, depending on the market, you start to say things in the media, things get started to snowball in terms of internal issues. They become blown out of proportion. It can be something small that can be resolved. But if the media takes it, then everyone's going to be upset about it because they got to answer for it. Coach has got to reply to it. We came to practice. We got to answer to it. To me, that I don't like that answer at all.
What do you mean, depending on the market? You're talking about the Boston market,
right?
Well,
I'm just saying, if I say something to the media and the media talks about it and blows it out of proportion and then it becomes an issue in our locker room. No. No. Not if you can control it. Not if what the media is saying is not true. You know what I mean? Not at all. You know, if you guys aren't upset with Tristan Thompson just not doing anything as far as the following protocols and going out to clubs, if you're not upset internally, then why do you care what the media is saying?
No.
Why would that be an issue in your locker room? I'm just that one specific. Maybe that wasn't it, but I'm just saying, like if it's not an issue, it sounds to me that the media kind of like, you know,
had an impact
were
on
bringing
them
up some issues with this team that were real, that were true, and that affected the locker room. So it's more of a locker room issue than anything. And hopefully, you know, listen, hopefully they don't have any of that stuff this year. Yeah, but
what was it, though? But I'm talking like not while Kyrie Irving was on the team. Forget about that. After he left, you had the COVID year down in Florida, and they went to the Eastern Conference championship.
Idea.
Last year, they sucked. They sucked so bad that their head coach decided he'd rather, you know, run the team instead of coach it.
The theme last year was that Brad Stevens after games sounded like a spectator. It was the same thing over and over again. I don't know why we don't show up and play early in games. I don't know why we take these teams for granted that we should go out and play. I don't know why.
You gotta be more aggressive. Jason.
Yeah. I don't know why we don't move the basketball. I don't know why we're not playing defense. So the media is talking about that. If that's an issue in your locker room, that's a you problem because you're not moving the ball. Maybe is it Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown feeling like they're taking too much heat for not being playmakers? Well, if you feel like that because the media is talking about it, look in the mirror. Are you being playmakers? Are you making guys around? So to me, it's like I've been on teams before too where the media goes absolutely nuts. But if we know as a team that it's all just
smoke, filler, just
noise, then it doesn't bother you.
Yeah, but see, and I think you're honest.
It only bothers you when it's real.
If there's some truth to it.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be all the way true.
Yes.
It just have to have some truth to some of the comments.
Correct.
To lead people to believe that somebody is talking outside the locker room, somebody's trying to tear you down for whatever reason. Maybe they're just vindictive, maybe they're jealous. Who knows? But I don't feel like this team last year necessarily had that you know, those guys on their roster. The only issue I feel was like the Marcus Smart issue, the rolling of your eyes, even the whole Jason and Jaylen aren't friends. Even that whole comment, what made them defend their relationship, defend their friendship, that could have been an issue. But I don't think it was that big of a deal to kind of – like,
well,
Kyrie
that's
was an obvious
that's
issue.
That's a good one. Like, so, again, it wasn't even us that said it, right? It was our boy Jeff Goodman who came on, even though it acted like people treated it like we actually said it. But Jeff Goodman comes on and says, you know what, Tatum and Brown aren't boys. Like, they're not best friends. They don't hang out. You know, they do play separately. You know, they live separate lives. Or they're not best friends off the court. If that upsets you, Jaylen Brown, if that upsets Jason Tatum, if it's not true, why would that upset you? Like, why wouldn't you just look and say, man, that's such BS. Don't even pay attention. Because we know we're boys. We know we're tight. Like, why would some of this media noise bother you unless some of it was true? Like, it makes no sense to me whatsoever.
So they probably make it a pact early in training camp that we are not – almost shut the TVs off. That's going to be a big emphasis. Well, your boy, Al Horford's going to be there. I mean, he'll be the glue.
There are nights that he just plays like an average player.
Yeah, sure.
He's the glue. He's the leader. I mean,
need him.
He led that last year here in Boston. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was an amazing team, fun to watch that year with Kyrie.
Yeah.
Then that first year in Philadelphia, I think the Philly fans loved that year. I thought that he was a huge impact in that locker room. They had a great year. And then last year in Oklahoma City, I felt like that was like that leader, that glue that they were missing and took them to, you know, missing the playoffs as well. So, yeah, I know. I think that he is a great leader, and I expect him to come in here and set everything straight. Yes. Yes, I do, Christian. All right, listen, we got Rodney Harrison, NBC Sports. He's going to he's joining us next right here on Maloney and Fourier. All right, welcome back to the MFers. Lou Maloney, Christian Fourier here. It is Wednesday. It is 4:30, which means it's time to talk to Rodney Harrison. Rodney is brought to you by Zooty. Build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zooty.com for details by Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh, and by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. And joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline is Rodney Harrison, NBC Sports. Rodney, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
We're doing good.
We're doing excellent. So I brought the seam head in for you. We couldn't get rid of him. He's here.
Sorry, man. I know you and Christian had this nice thing going last week, you know, just the
so
two of
nice.
You didn't have to deal with me at all. That was nice. It seemed like you had fun.
Hey, we can make it permanent if you want.
Well, unfortunately, I think they're making me stay in here.
Break.
Hey, let me start with this. Patriots win this game 25-6. So do you give all the credit to this defense, or is this a young quarterback just being careless with the football?
All credit to the defense. Hey, man, it's a combination. When you go against Coach Belichick and you're a rookie quarterback, I mean, we've been around those situations before. I thought the defense did a great job in the pass game, obviously. And Christian, maybe you can speak to it a little bit more than me, but when I saw the run game, man, it just seemed like the defensive line was getting controlled, and I didn't like all the missed tackles. There was too many missed tackles at the line of scrimmage, at the linebacker position, as well as in the secondary.
Yeah, no, that was the question. When you start looking at when is it fair to start judging this defense? Like, how many games do you need to see before you can say, okay, I know what this defense is going to be now?
I just think every week it's a steady progression. You don't want to make the same mistakes every single week, and you know you're not going to get better as a defense doing that. I think as you continue to get better, you create turnovers, you have goals each and every week. And when you start reaching those goals, then you say, hey, guys, we need to work on our tackling. We need to work on communication. We need to work on these things. If these things aren't getting better, then you know your defense is going to be very good. But the Patriots, I look, and I just see, you know, at the point of attack, you know, you look at the nose tackle, he's kind of getting pushed around. And that's one thing that we've always had a staple, stopping the run. If you're a New England Patriot, you have to stop the run on the defensive side of the ball. And that's just where it starts, it ends. And if they can't consistently stop the run, then it's going to be problems when you start facing teams like Buffalo and Kansas City and things like that.
Do you think they have the right personnel on that side of the ball?
I do. I just think it takes time. You know, just because you get a bunch of good names or big names and you pay a bunch of people, it still takes time to trust each other. It still takes time to be able to communicate, to know that, hey, Kyle Duggar, you're going to be inside if I'm holding the edge. It just takes time and it takes communication and trust. And I think they're going to continue to get better. Each week has gotten better, definitely.
Ronnie, how much do you put on, like, training camps, right? Like, less padded practices, one less game. Is that maybe a reason why you see that early on now?
Man, I put a lot on training camp. Like, I used to love training camp. I really felt like training camp got me ready for the start of the season. Conditioning, hitting, and all those different things. I think the teams are definitely at a far less advantage when you're not doing those type of things. I mean, that's the one thing I noticed. I mean, the missed tackles, the timing, you know, it's happening across the league, and it's just unfortunate that you can't learn how to tackle if you don't practice tackling, especially, you know, if you're not a super aggressive player. And that's what I see every single week, the missed tackles, the blown assignments, and that's a direct result of the changes made in training camp and all other camps.
You know, I know this wasn't the first thing on my mind, but you started talking about tackling and, you know, camp, and that's where a lot of jarring goes back and forth, a lot of talking after the whistle in camp against your own teammates, not a joint practice. And that's right. Like the taunting calls that I'm seeing lately are just so irritating. And I know some coaches are, you know, don't mind it, and I know Bill thinks it may lead to retaliation. Do you think there's a problem there with taunting so much that they need to put an emphasis on it?
I don't. I don't think it's a problem like that. I think in some cases guys get up and talk a little trash or whatever, but if you're the official, I'd say don't try to take that power away from the official. Like, these officials got to understand, these are the best players on the planet. They work hard. They're out there fighting and clawing. You're hitting 250-pound guys. Like, they're going to get up and talk a little trash. This is professional football. So you don't treat these grown men like they're kids. Let them celebrate. Let them talk trash. And the referees hear them. The officials hear them. So if they start cussing or something like that, being disrespectful, maybe you can throw a flag. But in most cases, these kids understand they're just celebrating with their teammates. They're going to flex. Let them flex a little bit. That's what this game is about.
Yeah.
You see these high school kids. You see these grade school kids. They're copying everything that these NFL players are doing. You know, but if you get in front of an official and you swear at him or you bump him like Kenny Young did of the Rams, then you kick his ass out of the game. But in most cases, you don't do that. You just let these guys play, you warn them, and you keep it moving.
It seems like a get-off-my-lawn type of old guy rule that they're trying to implement for a bunch of 20-something-year-old kids that just want to be, you know, be emotional. And you know, but because I've never actually seen there's a couple examples of a fight breaking out, but it's really, really rare for right. someone to take some flexing or some eye rolling or some pushing late to it actually lead to a fight on the field or, you know, in the tunnel. Like, that's very, very, very rare.
Yeah, you're spot on with that, Christian. Absolutely. Like, we know as guys, if somebody's flexing on us, we're going to say, okay, I'm going to get you next time. You ain't got to worry about that. But I'm not going to walk up to you and punch you because you're flexing, because I'm going to get kicked out of the game. I'm going to hurt my teammate. So, for the most part, man, these dudes are professionals. They understand when to do it and how to do it. You know, of course, there's an age gap there. So most of these guys that are making these decisions, they're not 20-some years old, Christian. So
we're talking to Rodney Harrison. Rodney, I heard you last week. I know you love what you've seen from Mac Jones. And we're talking all week about maybe a conservative approach, right, with how Josh is handling him. But when you look at the red zone, they're now 2-for-7. And in two games, Mac Jones hasn't attempted a pass into the end zone. Is that conservative approach one of the reasons why they're struggling in that red zone?
Well, it's you know, you could say it's a conservative approach, but you have to go back and you have to look at the game and you have to look at the offensive line. And when you look at the offensive line, both tackles are having issues. And, you know, when he's taking a 5 or 7 step drop, he turns around, he's got pressure in his face. So that's why I understand why Josh is saying as a coach, you know, hey, we got to get the ball out of his hands quickly. We have to do maybe a couple trick plays. We have to kind of run the football, do some play actions. You know, I would like to see him push the ball down the field a lot more. I mean, I think they have the personnel to do that. You know, but at the end of the day, man, you have to feel comfortable with your quarterback dropping back behind that offensive line. And I think if you have to go six-man protection, if you have to keep a back in and do seven-man protection, you have to do what you have to do to push the ball down the field. Because when I'm watching that tape, the Jets were overly aggressive on defense because they didn't have a threat of downfield. So they were sitting back, and then they knew that those short passes were coming. So they were flying around, and they were basically daring Mac Jones to throw the ball down the field. He hit a nice fade. I think it was to who was a nice fade to
Jacoby Myers?
Jacoby
Myers. Yeah. Yeah, it was a really nice ball thrown, and I'm like, we need more of that. That got me pumped up. We need more of that. And I think you're gonna see more of that. And maybe the no huddle hurry up offense. It seemed like at the end of the half, they were moving the ball up and down the field. So just give him an opportunity to control that offense, I'd say, and just try different things.
So we're talking to Rodney Harrison. So do you think J.C. Jackson, cornerback for the New England Patriots, gets the right amount of respect that he has deserved so far?
I think, you know, he's not like a household name. Like, everybody gets lazy when they talk about players and say, okay, Jalen Ramsey. They go to the old original names. But this is a young guy who's playing extremely well. You know, he's following the number one receiver. He can play left corner. He can play right. He's a team guy. He's been consistent. He's gotten better each and every year. He's going to get paid. Whether Belichick decides to pay him or not, this young brother is going to get paid if he stays healthy at the end of the day. And he's going to demand over $15 million a year, period.
So, Rodney, I'm curious. You're a lot of rookie quarterbacks out there, three right now starting. Actually, there'll be a fourth, Fields, out in Chicago. But when you see young rookie quarterbacks, like, is it first impression? So many young quarterbacks have been so good early in their careers that you look at guys like Wilson and Lawrence, say, two games, Zach Wilson will never figure it out. What do you look at after 2 weeks, and does it really just come down to their coach and how they coach them?
Man, are you kidding me? Peyton Manning was terrible his rookie year, and everybody knows that. You know, rookies, you just expect them to continue to come to work, and you're really finding out about your rookie quarterback. Who knows after two games? Who knows after a month of watching them? But what I watch is your work ethic. You know, when you go through a little adversity, how are you going to handle it? Are you positive? Are you a leader? Are you looking guys in their face, in their eyes when you're in the huddle? Are you taking ownership of the huddle? Those are the type of things that I'm looking at and most players are looking at. Yeah, you're going to have some games where you're up and down and things like that as a rookie quarterback, but at the end of the day, it's about your leadership qualities. And if you have that and you have that work ethic, guys are going to respect you and they're going to follow you.
So which Jameis Winston is the real Jameis Winston? The one that threw five touchdown passes against the Green Bay Packers? Or the Jameis Winston that threw two picks, was sacked four times, and only threw for 111 yards? Which one of the Patriots going to get?
Who do you think? I don't know. I mean, Jameis Winston is who he is. That's why he's on the Saints. If he was that good, if he was that reliable, that dependable, then they would have never got rid of him. So Jameis Winston is the guy. I put it like this. He's the 30-30 guy. He can throw 30 touchdowns, and he can make beautiful passes, but he can also screw up and make a lot of boneheaded passes, and that's what you get from him. You know, I've never been a big, big believer in Jameis. He's always had some talent, but he's always been that up-and-down guy.
So, see, I feel like he does the same thing Zach Wilson does. Zach Wilson's a rookie. Like, Jameis Winston should know better. You would think that, you know, after a year under Drew Brees, you know, he would kind of, you know, figure things out. But obviously, I don't think he has, I guess is my point. Nothing's really changed.
But you still have to understand, this is still his first time in this system. Like him as the starting quarterback, you know, taking really ownership of that position. So, you know, it takes time, too, for veteran quarterbacks. You know, this is only the third week for Jameis as well. You know, and now he's got to figure out who he's going against, the defense that they're going to be playing, the personnel and things like that. So it's just difficult playing quarterback in the National Football League, period. I don't care if you're Zach Wilson, Jameis Winston, you know, Tom Brady. It's tough because you got that level of preparation and you got defenses doing everything they can to stop you. It's just a tough thing to play.
Talking to Rodney Harrison. Rodney, there's so much turnover with this team, right? Free agency, they went nuts. Draft picks the last few years, new quarterback. But it's still Bill. Around here in New England, we talk about the Patriots. It's like, it's all based on history, right? They won't come up here and beat New England. This is what New England does. But the core guys, you know, there's a few of them still. So does this team sort of deserve that, like that Patriot label? Or does this group need to sort of prove that? Or is it just about Bill?
Man, it's Coach. Last time I checked, Coach ain't thrown one touchdown or caught one touchdown. And I love Coach, and he's going to always make sure that his players are pretty much prepared. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the players being out there making plays. And, you know, the Patriots are going to have to continue to believe in one another. And continue to put the work in, but nothing happens. I mean, each and every week is a challenge. It's a different challenge because you're dealing with injuries, you're dealing with this COVID crap, you're dealing with all different types of things. But at the end of the day, you got Bill Belichick, and that's the one I believe in. I believe in Coach Belichick. I know what he can do, and it's up to the players to buy in to what he's teaching. And if they do that, they're going to be successful. If they don't, they do their own thing, then they're going to struggle.
Hey, is it too early to start breaking down the Patriots versus the Tampa Bay Bucks? Can we start doing that now? Can we get a preview now?
Because nope, you're not gonna get a preview from me because it's disrespectful. I mean, come on, man. I'm like, it's disrespectful to the Saints. You can't do that, bro.
No. Listen, we most definitely can. We most definitely will.
How do you feel about Tom Senior kind of talking to the media, right, about how things end? He's been doing that a lot lately.
Hey, man, if there's no Tom Brady without Tom Senior, so he can say whatever the heck he want to say. Okay, he lays down the law with Tom, but yeah, I mean, I like to see him get in and have, I mean, he's got thoughts and opinions. I saw him down in Tampa in the hotel and Tom's mom, and they were doing well. So it was really good to, you know, just spend some time with him and talk to him and, you know, just to see them doing extremely well.
So it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that Tom Senior is defending, you know, his son and standing up for him and maybe even throwing away all, right? That's what dads do.
Person. That's right. Like, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight you tooth and nail for my kids. And that's what he's going to do. Just because you get older as a child doesn't mean that your parents aren't going to stick up for you, man. That dude loves Tom. He's gone through a lot and he sacrificed a lot to help Tom get in the position that he's in. So Tom, he loves his parents and everything. But at the end of the day, Tom Senior can say whatever the heck he wants to say because he's that dude.
All right, Rodney, listen, we'll save that for next week. How's that? Tampa Bay talk as they get ready for the Bucs. We won't disrespect the Saints. Appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Sounds good, man. Good talking to you.
All right, Rodney Harrison, NBC Sports. I love Rodney. I'm glad I missed it last week, man. Because he just tell you the way it is.
Well, yeah, no, I think it's...
Unless he tells me to just shut up and just sit in the corner and let me talk to Christian.
No, the Tom Brady thing is interesting to me, and I don't think it's disrespectful to start talking about this isn't Tony Dungy up on set, you know, this isn't Mike Tirico leading the way. Locally here, people can't wait for that game.
Like if the pregame of NBC Sports, if they had Pat Saints and they started talking Pats and Bucks, then I would agree with him. Correct?
Yeah.
Like, let's national get you ready telecast. For Pats and Saints. Whatever. Screw it. Let's talk about next week.
Yeah.
Already.
Let's you know this. The Patriots are going to win this game.
Right.
So, but the one thing that he's defensive minded, so he's going to focus on the defense getting pushed around. So that whole thing we did with Mike Reese, where it was, is it a mirage or is it a reality?
Yeah.
As far as okay, so the biggest surprise, the Patriots' run defense has struggled. And the verdict was that it was a mirage. He kind of blames it on no padded practices. You know, it had a trickle-down effect on those guys tackling and, you know, their ability to, you know, identify what was going on. There's no contact whatsoever. Rodney's here sitting there saying he loved preseason football. He loved camp.
Well, he put a lot on it, saying, yeah, that is the reason. But, you know, it's this is a good group, and maybe that is it. And listen, I do think that their front seven is legit. We were saying, other than the tight end, it's probably their biggest improvement. I do think that they will get better. You know, but everybody else has the same camp, too, right?
No, everybody else. And that's why I said, okay, or is it personnel? I think they got the right personnel as far as, I mean, just take out name recognition. Yeah, Judon's going to be a great player. Uche, he loves Uche.
See, and I think one of the other takeaways, too, is because I know a week before he was talking about, you know, Steph Gilmore, pay the man, right? The guy's, whatever, he's a great corner. He's number one corner. Talking about J.C. Jackson as well, like a $15 million corner, you know, and he's leading the league and tied with Xavier Howard for interceptions. Yeah. Going back to last year. So it's way too far ahead, but the reality is next year you could be looking for two different corners, two new ones, completely new corners.
Starting all over again.
All over again. I mean, Gilmore ain't coming back. They're not going to re-sign him to an extension at the end of the year. If they did that, they would have done it already. You know what I mean? And J.C. Jackson, you think Bill's going to pay him $15 million? That's going to be like, that's got Malcolm Butler written all over it, doesn't it?
No,
like, there's
it does.
No chance in hell. You're gonna have he's gonna have to go out there and sign a big time free agent, you know, a younger one.
Well, he'll have the money for
find
it.
Find the next Steph Gilmore.
Well,
yeah,
you know
and
what?
Then find another corner to go where JC is.
You know, so Gilmore was a free agent at the time. They knew it, and as soon as free agency started, they signed him right away.
Yeah, I don't even know
who. Yeah, who is that guy?
I don't know.
It's either a guy that they played against.
Did
multiple
you know
times.
It was Gilmore at that point? You know what I mean?
No,
he was a good player
no
in Buffalo,
idea.
But you know you weren't like yeah, got to have him.
But
good player.
But if I'm a corner out there, or if I'm an agent representing any of these corners, you know that they're willing to put the money up. It all depends on your age, because Gilmore right now, being 31 years old, like, is not going to get the money that he thinks he's going to get. J.C. Jackson, everybody's got an elevated value of themselves, and he thinks he's probably worth that, $15, $20 million a year. He's going to have to go to some desperate team that has a bunch of money to spend, kind of like the Patriots last year. But they spent their money on tight ends and wide receivers.
Yeah. All right, Rodney Harrison, as you said, talking about Tom Brady Sr. Hey, he's defending his son. What do you expect? That's what fathers do. Well, he absolutely did. He sat down in a podcast with Tom E. Curran and some interesting things to say about Brady's return to Gillette in a couple of weeks. You'll hear that next on Maloney and Fourier.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.